Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Cause baby, now we got bad blood. You know it used to be mad love. So take a look what you've done. Cause baby, now we got bad blood. Hey!
So
now
we got problems.
Now we have things to get caught up on otherwise.
What do we have to talk about?
So, for anyone that was curious about how it all turned out, because it was a race against the clock for me to not get sick.
Oh, wait, have we not talked since then?
No, we have not.
On air?
No.
Oh, hilarious. Okay.
I have texted with you, but we have not talked on air.
Listeners, let me catch you up. Previously on...
on a bonus
so
episode.
So Matt and Cassie had tickets to see Taylor Swift in Las Vegas. They don't live in Las Vegas. They're going to fly to Las Vegas for the weekend to see Tadoff Switler. And
wow.
I don't know. I said what I said.
My name is Kevin P. Flynn. Swifties do not come for us.
Yeah, I'm Jake Gyllenhaal. Fuck it. Come get me.
Have at it, guys. Go.
Okay. So... then the Tuesday or Wednesday before they were supposed to leave, Cassie got the flu, and Matt had when we were recording had set Cassie up in the bedroom and was like, okay, you're going to drink the soup and you're going to do the medicines and we're going to get you all the blankets and you're going to get out of this. And I, Matt Reuter, I'm not going to get sick. And then by the end of the episode, he was like, I don't know. I'm sniffing and I'm sniffling and I'm sneezing and coughing. And he hung up. We hung up. We finished the episode. What happened that night?
So that night, Aviv, I got sick. So Cassie was starting. She was on the upswing. So that night was the first night where I was like, oop. Here we fucking go. So
here we fucking go.
Woke up the next morning. This is now Thursday. We have a flight on Friday morning. So I was like, okay, I'm running a fever. And I'm like, okay, I feel like shit. Like I took the day off of work and I was like, okay, so let's think about this. I was doing this reasoning in my head. I was like, all right, so if I take some Dayquil or something like that, it's gonna bring my fever down. It'll help me feel better and such. I was like, but the purpose of the fever is your body's way of attacking.
It's killing the germs.
It's killing the germs. So it's like, yeah, it feels like shit. However, I find at this juncture, there is more benefit to doing nothing about the fever.
My God.
So it can...
You're like the parents that had COVID parties for their kids. They're like, well, we gotta build up the fucking antibodies somehow.
So it's the next day. So Cassie's actually feeling better, and now I'm getting fucking sick. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna just kind of ride this out for as long as I can.
Let the fire burn.
Yeah, exactly. It took a let the fire burn approach. Except I was like, all right, so I got to get up early tomorrow for the flight. Hopefully, I'll feel better tomorrow. This will just be like a one day at being the worst. Because Cassie seemed like the one bad day, and I was like, I'm just gonna try to get mine out of the way. Right at the start here, and hopefully get this out of my system. But I took some NyQuil, so I got the freebie down and something like that. Didn't really sleep. Woke up the next morning, I was like, I don't know, man. This is probably a bad fucking idea.
Just fucking shivering.
But here we are, late stage capitalism. So we're like, you know what? Get as much.
I don't think
Dayquil.
We can blame late stage capitalism. I think this is just you not wanting to admit that you wasted money.
Well, it would be quite a bit of money to eat due to the non-refundable.
That's true. That's true.
Like a significant amount of money. Just gone. So
I will not disagree with.
So had there been an option to get all that money back?
To get your money back, yeah.
At what I paid for it, then I'd be like, you know what? I could use that lots of money that I spent on these things.
I told you I would buy that for pennies on the dollar.
Right, so I would still be losing money, Veep. That's the point. Anyway, so, you know,
what do you mean losing money, but gaining friendship?
That's fine. I'm fine. So anyway, we masked up. We went to Vegas instead and just ran off of Dayquil and Spite and actually had quite a nice time.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, as it turned out, I mean, you know.
Dayquil and Spite, and it was very pleasant.
I had a lot of fun because we had cleared all of our plans except for the concert because we were like, well, we don't know how we're going to be feeling. So we just cleared everything off and just kind of went with the flow of everything, which was very fun. We saw RuPaul's Drag Race live, which was a lot of fun.
Delightful. Yeah.
So I would highly recommend that. We ended up going to Momofuku, which is David Chang's restaurant. And
Momofuku. Yeah,
didn't have a reservation. We were able to get in just as a walk-in, which was really good.
We have the noodles that they sell.
Ooh, oh, those were so good.
They're good. They're very good. Yeah.
Highly recommend. So a lot of the stuff that we probably would have wanted to do anyway,
You just coughed on some people and they let you in.
There's masks of Eve. So, you know, it was a fun time. A lot of people are probably going to get sick because of me, but you know what?
Fuck them. Taylor Swift.
This is America. Did you see how we handled COVID? Fucking, there's no responsibility for anyone anymore. So, okay.
Yeah, and
embrace the chaos.
This wasn't COVID.
It was not COVID.
This was the flu.
Yes, this was the flu. We tested for COVID. It was not COVID. It was just the flu. So that's the exciting conclusion. And it was a fantastic show.
Yeah, I hear very good things about that young Taylor Swift.
So here's a couple observations about the Taylor Swift concert.
Clear the lane for you to say things that will get you killed. That's what the attack helicopters are for. They're just like, you're on notice. You're on fucking notice.
Just so you know, we're watching you. It is not about anything about Taylor Swift herself or her music or anything like that. It's more the people that are the fans that really can be just some of the worst people out there. I'll just say that it's like, you know, you're there with 65,000 other apparent maniacs all there for the same reason, and it was a whole clusterfuck even getting there for so many people. So it's like, you know, this should be a fun festive atmosphere, and it's just like a real crabs in a bucket situation. And it's like, why are you here?
Crabs in a bucket.
Aren't you here to have fun? Like, why? What is going on that you have to be just like so rude and a total bitch to total strangers? It's like, what is your fucking problem? Like, I don't.
What is your problem?
Like, for real. And so there's that. There's also a lot of like mother daughter. I saw a mother daughter and granddaughter situation going on there. So it's a weird festive atmosphere, and it's just, and at certain points of time, it's like they had just unleashed meth laced fun dip onto a sea of children, and it's just like, well, this is concerning. This is uncomfortable. What is happening right now?
There you go.
It's like 40,000 quickenings happening at the same time. You're just like, what is happening? Right. I don't understand.
I don't know, man.
Great show though.
Taylor Swift fans are nuts.
I know. I saw a great many of them. Don't you worry.
They're also doing the thing where they're like Da Vinci coding her fucking lyrics.
The maniacs. Those are people are just unhinged. I don't know what to tell you on that. Like, get people need jobs, but.
By the by, I think it might be time to identify us specifically by our names. Your name is...
Oh, I'm Matt Reuter, and joining me as always...
Yeah, so that wasn't me, Kevin P. Flynn, that said that.
Oh, that's fine. Where are they going to come at me? I have no online presence.
They got the helicopters, man.
Well,
they got the choppers.
Hey, man, if
the helos, the whirly birds.
If Trump doesn't get me, the Swifties will. So I'm fucked either way. We got a ton of Gmail. I don't know what the
not that many.
Okay, so this is 2 weeks in happening. A row. So, we got a message from Fulberto. And it's a screenshot.
I don't get it either,
but it's a screen grab of him listening to episode 185 of the Avatar episode. And it just says in the body of the email, "I deserve it." Signed, Fulberto, as always.
I bet you we're talking about specifically Fulberto. And we're just like, whatever. Like, neither of us went to go check what he's talking about.
Yeah. Well, we suppose. Break it down for us, Fulberto here. Bentley writes, Hi, boys. A couple things. One, apologies to Aviv for excluding him from the last email, LMAO.
You're not forgiven.
I just meant that the information didn't really apply to him. Sorry.
No, two. Not accepted.
I wrote that between Aviv and Matt seeing Megan, and when Aviv... It's Megan, baby. I'm saying Megan. When Aviv had seen it, but not Matt, hence the reference in the beginning about the email being in my drafts.
Just giving you shit, buddy.
Three, on the subject of ads, I've been getting this hilarious Easter service ad. Oh, what?
Fuck yeah, dude.
Ad that's in this ASMR voice, and he's all, we welcome you with an invitation to our Easter service. It makes me laugh every time.
Have you ever thought about Christ?
Why?
What's up?
Look around. Really? That guy's around? And what's he doing? He's just hanging out?
Just hanging out.
All right. Hey, cool, bro. Anyway, four. I have a daiquiri once in a great while, since it's mostly banana.
Ooh, daiquiri sounds delightful.
So thank you, Bentley, for writing in.
So listeners, some of Bentley's email is not going to make the air, but to answer your question, Bentley, more intense.
Yes.
Next up is from Rena.
Yes, that is the next. The Twitter cesspool.
Yes, Twitter is a cesspool, but you can delete your tweets. Okay, this message is from Rena. She says, sometimes the little voice in my head that goes, you're being pedantic, no one cares, doesn't kick in until later, which was fine when I could delete my tweets, which is to say, sorry about the dumb shit I send you. No need to apologize. I'm as okay as far as someone who has lived through COVID and came out the other end on Prozac. Joy, you and me both, sister. Thank you, Rena.
And the next, you should do the next one too, because it's from Judgy Ass Rose.
All right, Judgy Ass Rose. We're gonna have some Michael Raymond, a lot of Michael Raymond James mailbag.
Yes.
So this one's from Judgy Ass Rose, aka Miss Rosemary NYC, aka Rose. Friend of the show. Says smoked parentheses RIPD Sister Peg. Nice RIPD reference. So I'm gonna blow your minds again.
We love movies reference there, but that's fine. Or we hate movies rather.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna blow your minds again about Michael Raymond James. Eddie the Hitman in this episode. He was in the running to replace Stabler, meaning he'd presumably would have been on the very next episode as a different person.
And it's a link to an article.
Holy shit. And it's a link to an article that's truebloodonline.com.
I think we had the comment last episode where it was like, see, we're proving yet again that the incompetence isn't just in front of the camera.
In front of the camera. Yeah, and honestly, we both really liked him and said that we wanted like a buddy cop show with him on it. But like the character that gets shot. Like I would have loved in between seasons to be like, well, he did do that murder, but he was shot in our custody, and therefore we owe him a life debt. And so
he's gotta become our butler.
Yeah, right. Mr. Butlertron. But they went with Danny Pino instead, so there you go. Sister Peg was definitely kidnapped by Martin Short. She also got roughed up in that episode with the twins who killed their weirdo therapist, but I guess she survived those. And then, surprise, I saw Charlaine Woodard on stage as Gertrude in Hamlet alongside Oscar Isaac, who is Pedro Pascal's best friend. Isn't that fun? Humble brag. Bye!
Yes. That is
with a little judge emoji and a little ass emoji and a little rose emoji.
So
fuck yeah!
Thank you, Rose, for and that again. You can't make this stuff up. Like that. What really? We're like, well, fuck okay. Yeah!
They would have had to have spent the whole episode being like, you look familiar.
Yeah, that would have, they would have had to bust out like the twin thing there. Like, oh, yeah. I'm my brother. He turned to crime. I turned to the law.
My brother returned to murder.
You know,
all right, next
we're,
up
we're
is
a real yin and yang situation.
Next up is from Rena again.
It's complicated. All right. Yeah, so.
Next up is from Rena again.
Yeah, Rena goes on with another email entitled Burner Phones.
All right.
And so Rena writes,
right.
You asked a question, I know the answer to it. Answer two. Sorry if someone else already explained this better.
Nope.
You can trace a burner phone. The point of it isn't to be untraceable, or quote, untraceable. It's to be
traceable.
It's to be disposable and not connected to you by name.
Okay. Rena, go with us on this one. If it can't be connected to you by name, then it is
untraceable.
Enjoy that new bit, everyone.
You go to a store. We understand. Okay, you go to a store.
All right, you walk into a store. You tell them, "I want an untraceable phone." They say, "No phone's untraceable."
He's like, "Well, son of a bitch." And then some guy says, "Come meet me outside in the back. I'll show you the good stuff, the truly untraceable stuff. They're called stolen phones from other people. Traces to them, not to you.
Untraceable."
Okay, so the next step. You pay $40 cash. It's important that it's cash, Aviv. $40 cash for the cheapest phone and a phone card. Okay, I'm with you. So does it come as one thing? Is it all in one package? Or do I have
is
to
Is it eight fives?
Is it 40 for the phone and then I gotta buy the card separately? Or does the phone come with the card?
Is it 160 nickels?
We need to know the details.
That would actually just be $8. Is it 1,600 nickels? Nope, still wrong. Math is all fucking off. Is it?
Go ahead.
Is it 8,000 nickels?
I'm going to pay attention to what's happening right now, so that's fine. Okay, because I'm too wrapped up in this plan now. Stop it. We're gonna fuck it up. We're going to get caught by the cops if we don't follow this procedure, okay? All right, we got the phone card.
Still wrong. Is it 800 nickels?
Okay. Use it for the one specific... Okay, so this is important. Are you taking notes?
Listeners, listen to the entire bit before you write in about my math.
Okay.
I'm begging
you. Use it for the one specific thing you need to use it for, and then toss
it. Buying a murder.
Preferably somewhere that can't be connected to you. Okay, this is important.
Just back at the store.
Be untraceable. It never left. How are they going to tie it to? Because again, they don't know my name. I bought it for $40 per this. Just some guy.
Buy one glove. Buy a throwing glove.
Alternatively, if your burner is just for, say, customers to get a hold of you, it's a safe and effective option to have a phone with no plan and no name attached. Sure.
Untraceable.
So there we go.
All right. Next,
thank you for anyone that was curious how to buy and use a burner phone for illegal reasons.
How to start a drug ring. Okay. Next up is from Tess. So Matt was very... Matt was a little sassy to me when he sent this email, and I didn't know at all what this word meant. So thanks, Tess.
Oh, really?
Yeah, didn't know. Never heard the term before.
Oh.
So this is from Tess, listener Tess. She says, soft power is when you influence the public with propaganda, e.g. any military movie that wants to use military equipment has to submit the script for rewrites by the Pentagon. Very, very Top Gun of you. The police also have soft power by acting as consultants on cop shows. That's how Copaganda started. Hard power is physically forcing someone, like when an army invades a country. That's hard power. But when police shoot someone, beat them up, or arrest them. Oh, and when people police shoot someone, beat them up, arrest them, break into their homes, shoot their dog. I added the shoot their dog thing. That's hard power. Thanks, Tess. I didn't know the term soft power. I just knew it as propaganda.
Oops. Yeah, I mean, this was in a lot of the political science stuff that I had in school, so it was talking about that, but not on, like, that's micro of a level, but more of like, oh, the influence of this country, or this economic thing, and then, you know, that type of shit. It's like, yeah, that's soft power.
In the context of that reviews, that still didn't...
No, well, that was the problem, where it's like, no, we understand that. It's...
No, you understand that. I didn't understand that.
The point being, but the way that the person was using it, it was a very interesting... Anyway, that's fine.
Sure.
Anyway, thanks, Tess.
Thanks, Tess. I think this is great. Okay. All right. Okay. Lastly, but not leastly, on the emails front.
Oh.
This is gonna dovetail into a message that I got.
Oh, okay. So the next email that we have, the final email. So we have an email from the menu superfan, Lily Oxeth, entitled Gareth's Goofy Birthday. So if everyone recalls...
Goofith and Gallant.
From the last, I don't know if it was a bonus or if it was on the regular episode.
Yeah,
whatever
it was. We were begging Lily and Gareth not to dress in blackface to go to a Philadelphia bar in London.
And explaining why the Michael Jordan jersey that he was going to wear and to watch college basketball. Right, the whole thing. So this still is wrong. Still all wrong. It's all wrong. So she writes it. Hi guys, it was a wonderful evening, and they loved his Kit jersey.
Jersey.
We
all watched Ted Lasso.
Yes. We had a pub quiz on the NBA and came in fourth. Then chatted and watched the March Madness game. It was a Philly themed dive bar, and
Regev. I think that's a typo.
It's
someone's name is Regev.
No, there are so many typos, but I'm gonna read them out. There's some spelling disasters in here. So, and Regivi now made it look like Always Sunny. Food was good. Going to Waterloo, Passyunk Ave for my birthday on Monday. All these things that I'm saying.
Happy birthday, Monday.
These are in all caps. So in caps. This is interestingly worded and...
Lily, I have a question for you. Do you write reviews for Law and Order SVU on IMDb? Because this is written very similarly to the ones that I skip reading because I can't understand them.
Oh no. Alright. I did some research and found out that Passyunk Ave is a real place in Philly. Yes it is.
God damn it.
Not the Passyunk. That's where the fucking Pat's Cheesesteaks is. Keep up.
That's where Pat's Cheesesteaks
is. Yes. That is very cool. Very cool. Mm. Only Beeb to Philly once at 16, snuck out if the burbs with my friend who I had gone to high school with in San Francisco. She got a job at the local Dairy Queen beside the point.
I disagree. I would love to know which local Dairy Queen and if I could get a blizzard with cookie dough bites.
We went to a concert in Philly, and I got kicked in the face in a mosh pit. That's
the Electric Factory. Yep.
The 90s and grunge weren't my thing. Okay.
Anyway.
Cheers for the shout out. Gareth was not blackface, and he challenged his love of MJ and the Birdman. Challenge is what was on the page here, Aviv. The Birdman. We made some fantastic friends. Pucks attached.
Picks.
I know, Aviv, but we're reading the typos.
I know, but I'm telling the listeners, because it sounds like Lily needs to go to the hospital.
lots of love, Lily, and she attached pictures of Gareth and her and the bar, and it looks like it was a good time for everyone.
Yeah. Lily was wearing San Francisco 49er gear, which is the wrong sport.
And city. And all
just everything.
Just None of it caught none of that one. Just a bit outside. But that's all the Gmail. Let's fit to Gmail. Aviv, what's going on the Twitter? You said we have a little bit.
Yes, we have a little bit of Twitter. And speaking of the menu superfan,
oh boy,
Lily
here
Oxeth,
we go.
She wrote in regarding her and Gareth's trip to the fucking the Passyunk Avenue. And she also gave us a new Photoshop. Bee cake with a side of peanut butter.
it's very on brand.
Yeah, it's got us, clip art of like a bee, Ted Lasso, a pencil. Oh no, it's an EpiPen. official sponsor of the Anaphylactic Olympics, and Bert Trevor on in the corner with a heart.
He's got,
we miss you, Bert.
You gotta let go, Lily. Bert's not, he's not coming back.
9/11 was an inside job. She also writes, okay, this is getting bonkers. Bradley Whitford of The West Wing played the Roman Polanski character in season 15, episode 2, and now he's back in season 24, episode 15 as a different character. We're running out of actors. Get in there, Aviv and Leanne. I don't act.
But yeah, get in there, Leanne.
Get in there. And he's
can't
also in Law and Order
because
LA.
Because Bradley Whitford has been on two episodes of...
Well, three, because he's three... yeah. So, and then... she sent a screenshot of her TV with Bradley Whitford, and he's dressed up like a child on the moon.
Well, that's an interesting description that I didn't see coming.
Yeah, she says, "No, this show has lost the plot." Screenshot of Whitford on the moon. This storyline is bonkers. This recent episode. Check your text.
She's trying to take the moon from me,
which is a quote from this show.
What the fuck is this?
I don't know. Yeah. For once, I'm in total agreement with Lily. Leanne, get in there.
If this is... and this is the... and what season was this?
24.
So we have this to look forward to?
11 more years, baby.
Oh, good.
You and me.
This is when we get to literally stare into the abyss and be like, well...
we did it.
I guess this is... If we are men of our word, I guess we're just going right into the eye of the storm here. I guess here we go.
Yeah. So we have a tweet from
beg for death before we get there.
I'm begging for death.
I know.
We have a tweet from Megan_Megan. Meg, I'm new here. She says, I'm working my way through your, parentheses, amazing podcast, currently in season 2. So by the time I get to this new episode to find out that you mentioned this tweet, it'll be the year 2047, and you guys might be about to start recapping season 19 or 20. Winky face with a tongue emoji, smiley face with hands emoji. Thank you, Megan. And as always, when you hear this on the air, just tweeted us Miriam.
Oh, good.
hashtag Miriam. Okay, so next up is from Button0990, who sends a SpongeBob meme. It says, Aviv trying to convince Matt to sell him the T-Swift tickets. Friendship. There you go. Also, she goes on to say, Gabriel's Inferno is another bizarre Twilight fanfic and is compared to 50 Shades of Grey. I watched the trailer and, oh my, it looks so bad. Like with 50 Shades, this was published first online and used the names of Twilight characters as the only connection to the source material. Cool. You ever think that the internet was a bad idea?
Oh, all the time.
Yay. Okay.
Oh, it was the worst idea. It was the worst. The worst, Jerry.
We got a couple pair of tweets to wrap this up. We got a pair of tweets from @SuperFanFilledWith, who says, Pedro Pascal and Christopher Maloney has the same birthday, and it's April 2nd. Sorry if this was mentioned in the episode, but I missed it. No, it wasn't mentioned in the episode, and this also happens to be the birthday of friend of the show, Leanne O'Shea.
How about that?
Pedro Pascal, Christopher Maloney, and...
Super fan.
Aries season. Super fan Leanne O'Shea. Okay.
No, not super fan. Friend of the show.
And Marvin Gaye. Okay. And lastly but not leastly, we've got a bit of a thread.
Oh, boy. Okay.
From Superfan Filled With says, Michael Raymond James was on Once Upon a Time. I would say that's his biggest role. To which Michael Raymond James writes in and says, I would not say that. Michael. Booby. Elliot did not tag you. You were fucking Googling yourself, my guy, which is cool. I Google myself in Liz Lemon's office all the time.
Wait.
But.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So almost Stabler's replacement came to dunk on Elliot on Twitter.
Do with that information what you will, folks.
But like.
Wow. What the fuck, you know, man?
Well, yeah, yes, what the fuck, man? So now we're going to go through Michael Raymond James's entire IMDb to talk about his biggest, best-known credit.
Again, he looked familiar, so there's something that I probably know him from.
So he was in Jack Reacher, which I think is a pretty big thing. He was on
the show or the movie?
Yeah, the movie.
Didn't see.
With Cruise.
I don't know why I asked for the difference because I've never seen any of it, but I felt it important to know.
I need the distinction. He was also on The Godfather of Harlem, where he plays a character named Joe Colombo. That's right, Fuberto. You heard that correctly. Joe Colombo.
Oh, no.
35 episodes of Once Upon a Time, where he plays Neil Cassidy. 10 episodes of a show called Game of Silence, where he plays Gil. Oh, Gil. 16 episodes of True Blood. 13 episodes of Terriers.
Wait, what was his name? I know we talked about it. What was his character True Blood?
Rene Lenier.
I mean, here's the thing. For me, it might be Once Upon a Time, because I've seen a bunch of that show. I don't know.
You know what, Michael? MRJ.
Keep going. What
it
else?
It is Once Upon a Time. That's it. That's all we fucking got. One episode of the TV series Lethal Weapon.
Oh, yeah, dude, then it is. I'm sorry.
It's okay, man. I mean, you were in Jack Reacher with Tom Cruise. It's nothing to sneeze at.
Dude, you're like a working actor. Good for you.
Two episodes of The Walking Dead and a short film called Boop. I guess Boop.
Okay.
Boop star.
Dude, it's
Michael Raymond James.
It's not a fucking insult to say that was your biggest thing.
Also, I have to stress, you were not tagged in that.
Cannot stress this enough.
Oh,
anyway,
man, I just lost out on Michael Raymond James ever being in anything I ever make. But
no, make amends.
You know,
make amends.
You know, you're doing great for yourself. I'm not cheesing your toast here, but you know, be nice.
Yeah. What the hell?
And that's all the mailbag that's fit to mailbag. As always, you can get at us. We're at SVU Podcast on Twitter, which is the official Twitter handle of Michael Raymond James.
You can take that to the bank, the Blood Bank's editor, and for longer or weirder stuff, or tweet-sized emails, because again, fuck Elon Musk, you can send us an email, specialviewingunit@gmail.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.